Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Well, hello from one of the two happiest places in the United States. Did you see that report this week from the Centers of Disease Control? The happiest and unhappiest places in the United States. The happiest. Wish you the happiest. The happiest. Hawaii. Well, duh. And New Orleans, Louisiana. Don't look at me. Go call us, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This was a big survey, not one of those calling 300 people at dinner time. This was more than a million respondents over a period of 4 or 5 years. And it evaluated all sorts of measurements of perceived happiness. And yes, the unhappiest city in the United States is New York City, ladies and gentlemen. But so I'm speaking to you from what, except for last night, is the happiest city in the United States. Co-happiest with Honolulu, I guess. And the CDC said that, well, it's interesting that this correlates, happiness, perceived happiness tends to correlate with good weather. And then I wonder, okay, where's Houston? Where's Alabama? Those are Sunbelt states. Nuh-uh, it's here. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of surveys, you can give yourself and your country a wonderful Christmas gift this year just by taking a New Year's resolution not to participate in public opinion polls anymore. It doesn't do anybody any good. Just paves the road downward for politics and culture and everything else. So just don't do it. Doesn't help. Just when they call. Anyway, most people are, because they think it's telemarketers calling at dinner time anyway. So join the crowd. News of the digital wonderland, United Kingdom style. Thousands of people in Lancashire, specifically the Ribble Valley. The Ribble Valley. You know the Ribble? Are now unable to receive one of the major commercial channels, Channel 4, and regional news broadcasts since the analog transmitters were closed down. Instead, many have found they're getting the version of Channel 4 based in Cardiff, the difference being that the programs are spoken in Welsh, the digital wonderland, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's a new transmitter with a much better signal in Welsh. This is the one program a year where most of the content is musical, some of it serious, some of it not so, to celebrate the season. But there will be some special features as well. So welcome to the special Christmas, Hanukkah, and whatever other holiday you've got right now edition of Hello, Welcome to the Show.
Santa's helpers in the mall, new graffiti on the wall. We're victimized by urban sprawl. It's Christmas in LA. See the mansions of the stars. Valet elves are parking cars. Reindeer strippers in the bars. Christmas in LA. I dream of trees and ornaments and the crackling Yule log. The lights are twinkling 'cause they're shining through a killer smog. Those who can have hit the slopes after office party gropes, leaving us with only hopes. It's Christmas in LA. Padding out expense accounts, silicone with extra bounce. Buy a pound and get an ounce. It's Christmas in LA. When I fly down from San Francisco, I hear music in the air. A million car alarms are kept.
barely no one seems to care. Take this with a grain of salt. They've unfrozen Uncle Walt. Don't know if it's Goofy's fault. It's Christmas in L.A. Snowballs made of styrofoam, plastic trees in every home. All the kids are home alone. It's Christmas in L.A. It's Christmas in L.A. It's Christmas in L.A.
Time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 364. Relations, sparing no expense'll send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil. Just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Once a child and now a mother, Christmas came with all its glee. Tinsel topped and crystal covered, she knelt to dress the dancing tree. And gone were all her thoughts revealing. Gone was all the drudgery, all the worries she'd been weaving as she knelt to dress the dancing tree. free. And she thought of the time when she was just a child, and she helped her mother dress the tree. And she thought with a smile how her words seemed so wise when she said, "You long for days like these." And through her dreams, her sentimenting, came the sounds of her sweet song, full of life so unrepenting. Down the stairs her family came. And she said, "Little soldier, when you're older, you will love a girl like me. And kiss her, hold her, remember I told you to dance around the dancing tree." Just a child, and you helped your mother dress the tree, and you think with a smile how my words seem so wise. And you'll cherish days like these. Once a child and now a mother, thankful for her family, her sleeping babe and sleeping lover, she dances round the dancing tree. She dances round the dancing tree.
The reindeer are down to kibble, and whatever they can catch. The elves are shopping outlet stores, their shoes no longer match. The gifts are made in Vietnam, China costs too much. When he takes a gal to Applebee's, Santa's dining Dutch. Santa Claus can't get financing. He's caught in the credit crunch. He'll fit through a lot more chimneys, 'cause the big guy's skipping lunch. Why not a bailout for Santa? He feels supremely subprime. Maybe J.P. Morgan will buy him. He's running out of time. They're grasping at straws at the House of Claus. The children are getting black and white cards instead of dolls and toys. And if Santa's not careful, there'll be IOUs for the sweet little girls and boys. The ermine's been trimmed off his collars, replaced with cheap plastic foam. The North Pole's warming up anyway, it's no place like home. Santa Claus can't get financing. Bankruptcy's looking good. It's loose change that he believes in as he flies through your neighborhood. Why not a bailout for Santa? He feels supremely subprime. Maybe J.P. Morgan will buy him. He's running out of time. How about a bailout for Santa? A few billion should do the trick. Put away your hanky. Email Bernanke. Let the Fed take over St. Nick. Let the Fed take over St. Nick.
From the edge of Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the special holiday edition of the show. Ira?
Holiday?
Yes, sir. And it is time to catch up on this wacky thing that they're doing in the United Kingdom. I don't understand. They're looking back. What's wrong with you people? At the origins of the Iraq War. That'll be in today's episode of Now, News from Outside the Bubble. But first, from the Times of England, of London, owned by Rupert Murdoch of Australia, British soldiers were sent to their deaths in Iraq because of Tony Blair's sycophancy towards Washington and the failure of the governing class to speak the truth. That's according to the former head of public prosecutions in the United Kingdom. That's Sir Ken MacDonald. And perhaps the most serious charges leveled by a former public servant against an ex-prime minister, Sir Ken, says Blair engaged in an alarming subterfuge, his words with George Bush, and then misled and cajoled the British people into a war they did not want. Blair's fundamental flaw was his sycophancy towards those in power, he says. Perhaps this seems odd in a man who drank so much of that mind-altering brew at home. But Washington turned his head and he couldn't resist the stage or the glamour that it gave him, unquote. Blair's mantra that he did what he thought was right was a, quote, narcissist's defense, unquote, because self-belief was no answer to misjudgment and no answer to death. In his most savage passage, Sir Ken writes that the sacrifices made by British forces would become the stuff of poetry and song in future years, but none of that would sprinkle any starlight on Blair. On the contrary, it is entirely the work of warriors cast carelessly into death's way by a prime minister lost in self-aggrandizement and a governing class too closed to speak truth to power, unquote. Holy mackerel. Meanwhile, at the Iraq inquiry, Britain may have had second thoughts about the Iraq invasion had the scale of post-war violence been anticipated. That's according to Sir John Sowers, now head of MI6, the intelligence branch, said very few observers foresaw that Iraq would attract al-Qaeda terrorists and Shia extremists backed by Iran. Only Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak got it right, said Sowers, when he warned it would unleash 100 bin Ladens. On the other hand, the New Statesman magazine in Britain says, oh, really? Barack Obama's coordinator for counterterrorism wrote in the Washington Post in October 2002, al-Qaeda and its affiliates would find American forces in a post-Hussein Iraq to be an irresistible target. The former CIA official Paul Pillar's view in the Washington Post in 2006, he described that the intelligence community did assessments before the invasion that he wrote indicated a post-war Iraq would not provide fertile ground for a democracy and would need a Marshall Plan-type effort to restore its economy. He wrote that the intelligence community anticipated that a foreign occupying force would itself be the target of resentment and attacks, including guerrilla warfare. Six of Britain's leading experts on Iraq and the Middle East briefed Tony Blair on the potentially dangerous consequences of invading Iraq in 2002. Over the next hour and a half, the experts sought to take Blair and his senior colleagues through a number of possible post-invasion scenarios, ranging through one, to a messy slide into civil war. And the U.S. Army War College, the military's own think tank reporting on reconstructing Iraq in February 2003, ethnic, tribal, and religious schisms could produce civil war or fracture the state after Saddam is deposed. A small number of terrorists could reasonably... Okay, you get it. Not just Hosni Mubarak, but that's the head of intelligence now. And that's what they call... That's why they call it intelligence. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. A tale of airport security is offered by a listener named... Leon from Canberra, Australia. Dear Harry, I think the airport security people are getting a bit high-handed. Although I go through airport security over 100 times a year, for some reason this time I walked through the scanner with my hands in my pockets. I was feeling tired, plus I had previously been criticized by a security person for going through the scanner with my hands too far from my body. Never heard of that before either. I then asked, my body. The scanner did not react, but the female person in charge of the gate said, go back and walk through again with your hands out of your pocket. She did not look me in the eye when she said that, so initially I was unsure whether I was being referred to. She was referring to me. I then asked why the alarm did not go off. She said, that is the rule, that you have to go through with your hands out of your pockets. I responded by saying, where's that written down? Oh, well, there's your mistake right there, responding. By this time, I was back outside the gate preparing to go through again. She said, well, do you want to come in or not? I did, and having gone through with my hands out of my pockets, she then called her supervisor. Supervisor informed me that the reason you have to walk through with your hands out of your pockets is you might be concealing something in your hands inside your pocket. I said, well, I would have thought the machine could pick that up. He said, no, it's magnetic. I then said, well, these rules are not written down anywhere. How am I supposed to know about them? I think he conceded that. Since I was tired and it was early, I might have been a bit on edge, but I can see how such an incident, such a mild questioning of security behavior, could get out of hand. Fortunately, I was allowed to continue my journey. But I've made a complaint to Qantas, and I've written to you, so I feel a bit better. Keep your hands out of your pockets, ladies and gentlemen. It's something you realize thanks to Tales of Airport Security, copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Like you, like a menorah, dance over to. It's Christmas time for OJ. The bars make a merry clang. He got matching fruitcakes from Van Atter and from Lang. A furry pudding from Furman. Prison food's grim enough. And OJ sings a jolly refrain. The Goldman's got my stuff. The Goldman's got my stuff. Bing dong, bling bong. Tinsel on the Joshua tree. It's Christmas time for OJ. Just like it ought to be. It's Christmas time for OJ. His cellmates made a pact. They'd make him sit on the football, and then they'd watch him act. The warden, he sent a candygram. Smells like droppings from McGruff. And OJ sings himself to sleep. The Goldman's got my stuff. The Goldman's got my stuff. Rosa Lopez forgot to send a gift, but she did return a broom. Bob Shapiro gave a handmade gift, a free year of legal Zoom. Bruno Mali sent some ugly ass shoes, prison footwear's kinda rough. And Santa Claus sings in OJ's dreams, the Goldman's got your stuff. The Goldman's got your stuff. Bing dong, bling blong, a high desert cooler is home. It's Christmas time for OJ. Never no more to roam. No, never no more to roam.
Bells will be ringing, the glad, glad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone, I have no friends to wish me greetings once again. Choirs will be singing, silent night, Christmas carol by candlelight. Please come home for Christmas. Please come home for Christmas. If not for Christmas, by New Year's night. Friends and relations send salutation, just as sure as the stars shine above. Yes, this is Christmas. Yes, Christmas, my dear, the time of year to be with the one you love. And won't you tell me you'll never more go Christmas and New Year's. We'll find you home. There'll be no more sorrow, no grief and pain, 'cause I'll be happy, happy once again. Sorrow, no grief and pain. I'll be happy Christmas once again.
This is Le Show. And yeah, yes, I won Celebrity Jeopardy this week. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll be back on it in April, I think, is when we tape it next. And I can collect even more money for the Common Ground Relief here in New Orleans. But, man, that was tight. I mean, it was difficult. I mean, it was challenging. And while I'm acknowledging events of the recent past, I want to thank all the musicians and technical people who contributed to the Christmas sing-along shows last Sunday night in Los Angeles, Tuesday in New York, and this past Friday and Saturday here in New Orleans, all for the help of the Tipitinas Foundation and the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. Great bunch of people. You're hearing some of their work today, but nothing like seeing them in person. And ladies and gentlemen, guess who's supplying money? Guess who's funding the Taliban and warlords in Afghanistan? We are. A House Oversight Committee says this week it's starting a wide-ranging investigation into allegations that private security companies hired to protect Defense Department convoys in Afghanistan, you know, your former Blackwaters, your Diamond Corps, that they are paying off warlords and the Taliban to ensure safe passage. It's a system. It's a wheel. It's a thing. If shown to be true, it would mean the United States is unintentionally engaged in a vast protection racket and as such may be indirectly funding the very insurgents we're trying to fight, says the chairman of the committee. 2 weeks ago, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, last time I looked, described the very same situation before a Senate committee while discussing the truck convoys that bring supplies into landlocked Afghanistan. Quote, you offload a ship in Karachi, Pakistan, and by the time whatever it is, you know, muffins for our soldiers' breakfast or anti-IED equipment gets to where we're headed, it goes through a lot of hands, she said. And one of the major sources of funding for the Taliban is the protection money. Unquote. So you don't have to investigate it. We know it. Secretary of State is very well aware of it. But it's a system, you see. It keeps the wheels just greased and moving. So won't you give? And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week. Yes, even at holiday time.
We're so sorry.
Even at holiday time, people are sorry. I'll prove it to you. Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's attacker apologized for a superficial, cowardly, and impetuous act that left the Italian premier hospitalized with a broken nose and shattered teeth. Massimo Tartaglia wrote the apology in a letter that his lawyers passed on to Berlusconi. Tartaglia has been under treatment for psychological problems for 10 years. He said he became enraged when Berlusconi approached supporters near where he was standing after a rally in Milan. Tartaglia then hurled a statue of Milan's cathedral, hitting Berlusconi in the face. He told police he acted alone, was not politically motivated. The Department of Veterans Affairs this week apologized repeatedly for a prostate cancer program that gave incorrect radiation doses to veterans for 6 years at its main Philadelphia hospital. At the same time, officials from the Philadelphia VA and the Veterans Health Administration mounted a vigorous defense against charges by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission that they had apparently violated 8 regulations in the medical use of radioactive materials. VA officials also withdrew their own previous estimates of the number of patients who were affected, asserting the mistakes were far less common than previously believed. Regulatory Commission officials said they were surprised by the VA's about-face. More about that, I'm sure, to come. British Foreign Secretary David Miliband this week apologized to Tzipi Livni, former Foreign Minister of Israel, and Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman, the current Foreign Minister of Israel, for the arrest warrant issued against Livni in London earlier this week. He also promised Lieberman to begin working immediately to change the UK laws that enable the issue of arrest warrants against Israeli officials accused of war crimes. Britain's ambassador to Israel, Tom Phillips, was summoned to the foreign ministry in Jerusalem for a reprimand over the matter. The man recently appointed Church of England bishop to the armed forces have apologized for comments he made to a British newspaper that would interpret it as praise for the Taliban. The Right Reverend Dr. Stephen Venner, until last month the Bishop of Dover, and since 2007 he's been bishop for the Falklands. That's good duty. Bishop for the Falklands. I would have thought that would have been like the Siberia of bishoprics. I said bishoprics. Having recently taken up the post of bishops to the armed forces, he gave an interview to the British newspaper The Telegraph. It's the center of some controversy after the bishop appeared to be praising the Taliban. Speaking of the admiration for the forces at present engaged in that fight, he went on to say, quote, "We've been too simplistic in our attitude towards the Taliban. There's a large number of things the Taliban say and stand for which none of us in the West could approve. But simply to say, therefore, that everything they do is bad is not helping the situation. The Taliban can perhaps be admired for their conviction to their faith and their sense of loyalty to each other." Unquote. He has now apologized. Also, over the pond, the BBC has apologized to a commodities trading firm, Trafigura, for saying the company caused deaths and injury in Ivory Coast through its dumping of toxic waste. In a statement read at a London court, the British broadcaster said it withdraws the allegation that the waste caused deaths, miscarriages, or other serious or long-term injuries. The BBC also apologized for claiming otherwise on its program, Newsnight. And the BBC has agreed to pay the company $40,000 in damages, which Trafigura says will be donated to charity. In 2006, a company hired by Trafigura dumped toxic waste in the Ivorian city of Abidjan. Tens of thousands of residents said the waste made them sick. Ivorian officials said 16 people died. However, Trafigura has consistently denied any wrongdoing. It says independent experts found no link between the waste and the deaths and injuries. The BBC acknowledged the experts' conclusion in a separate statement this week. You died not because of the toxic waste. Isn't that reassuring? And a man whose seemingly innocent request for orange juice during a recent American Airlines flight led to an altercation with a flight attendant has received an apology from American Airlines. Ladies and gentlemen, this is news. American Airlines has been in communication with those customers who were most directly affected by this incident. During that communication, we've apologized to them and taken other appropriate steps. In addition, we apologize to any customer who was inconvenienced by the situation. As to the flight attendant in question, American has taken specific action related to that employee, a private personnel matter. On the morning of December 8th, John Reed was sitting in first class on a flight from Sacramento to Dallas when he overheard passengers complaining about a flight attendant. I saw this flight attendant coming toward me, and she set down a breakfast tray on my tray table. I asked her politely at that time for some orange juice, and she spent the next 2 minutes castigating me for asking for orange juice during that part of the flight. Stunned, he told the flight attendant he was just asking for some orange juice, prompting another tirade that other passengers were able to hear, according to Reed. He said the female flight attendant named Helen spent the rest of the flight asking other passengers if they had a problem with her. So you get an apology from American Airlines for that. That sets the bar pretty low, or pretty high, I'm not sure which. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. A copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Now, there are many approaches to the subject of music at Christmas time. I don't know if any of you saw the Glenn Beck Christmas special. I kid you not. The Glenn Beck Christmas special, it was on Fox News last night. I didn't see it, but fortunately, I was able through some sources to get what purports to be one of the musical numbers featured on the program, where Glenn kind of clarifies a widely misunderstood part of the Christmas story. Here it is now.
The three wise men went to Bethlehem with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought no gifts for Joseph and Mary, no, nothing for her. You see, it was all so very sudden. Of the moment, they had just the spur. So the three wise men, Yeah. No, they went to Bethlehem with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, their dried tree sap, or resins, as you can see on the blackboard here, that's the frankincense and the myrrh. They were brought there to calm baby Jesus, to make his wee engine purr. Oh, don't, nothing sexist here. Mary could enjoy the benefits to relax after childbirth, for sure. So, it's easy to guess why the wise men brought the frankincense and the myrrh. Oh, but the other gift, it might make you wonder, the way the story has always been told. You know, maybe the Roman economy was collapsing. Too much stuff bought, not enough sold. Or, you know, maybe they were minting counterfeit coins that were not worth enough to hold.
Do you think
that's why the wise men brought along not just frankincense and myrrh, but gold? Oh, they knew their new Lord would have need for a reliable property store. You see, he'd be chasing the money changers. Mm-hmm. So his cash wouldn't be good anymore. Uh-uh. No. They'd need to retrofit the manger to keep out the termites and the mold. So the wise men, they remembered to bring along plenty of gold. Funny how smart three wise men could be with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh to sneak into Bethlehem under cover of night and manage to create no big stir. Now, we're surrounded by wise men, but still, we're left out in the cold. So, forget the frankincense and myrrh this year. Call now to order your gold.
Comment, and he tied up his helpers, and he held the
elf hostage, and he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage.
He got Dancer and Prancer with an old German Luger, and he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger. And he picked up a flamethrower and a barbecue blitzer, and he took a big bite and said it tastes just like chicken. The night Santa went crazy. The night Kris Kringle went nuts. Now you can't hardly walk around the North Pole without stepping in reindeer guts. There's a National Guard and the FBI. There's a band from the Eyewitness News and helicopters circling round in the sky. And the bullets are flying, the body counts rising, and everyone's dying to know who's Santa why.
My. You used to be such a jolly guy. Yes, Virginia, now Santa's doing time in a federal prison for his infamous crime. Hey, little friend, now, don't you cry no more tears. He'll be out with good behavior in 700 more years.
But now Vixen's in therapy, and Donner's still nervous. And the elf all got job working for the Postal Service. And they say Mrs. Claus, she's on the phone every night with a lawyer negotiating the
my backyard Christmas tree. What a lovely present this would be. Got to get you under my tree. Got to get you under my tree.
Got to get you
under my tree.
Got to get you.
What a Christmas this would be. Got to get you under my tree.
We swore in Karzai, and we swore off Rabbani. For one day, maybe it's okay to be Afghani. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care. It's the only place to hang anything there. The gift has been given, the Taliban beaten. No reindeer will visit. They know they'll be eaten. Only Wayne Newton would come this far. 'Cause it's Christmas in Kandahar. We fought side by side with Uzbeki and Turka. We've shaved off the beard, thrown off the burqa. It's still a surprise when we look in the mirror and see standing behind us Geraldo Rivera. Santa's crossed off his list the land where we dwell. We've been naughty this year, and Muslim as well. Drew Carey went by in an army car. Must be Christmas in Kandahar. We've mastered the problem of trimming the tree. We've covered it with a fine coat of explosive debris. There's no way to drive, and no way to call. There's no stuff in the stores. There aren't any stores, and there isn't a mall. There's no Cathy Lee, and no Charlie Brown. Just a couple of thousand Marines out on the town. Ramadan this year was strictly subpar. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar.
Don't forget to pay off your warlord. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to everybody who's helped make this show possible during this year. Now entering the 27th year of disservice to humanity. The show returns next week at the same time with the part two of the year in rebuke over these same stations, NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, shortwave, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archive whenever you want it on your computer. HarryShear.com and KCRW.com, on the Mighty 104 in Berlin, on your smartphone at Stitcher.com, available as a free download at Audible.com/LeShow, available as a free podcast at KCRW.com. And it would be just like all the warlords and Taliban getting paid off if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much, huh? Tip of the LeShow chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks. And thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. And thanks, especially, as often here in New Orleans, to Jenny Lawson here at WWNO-FM. Thank you all for helping make this a little less unbearable. For me, at least. I don't know about the listeners. You're on your own. As I said, next week, Year in Rebuke, Part 2. Meantime, I can check in with you. You can check in with me at LeTwits on Twitter. At LeTwits. And in New Orleans, if you want to hear the last ever edition of the Ray Nagin Christmas song, Christmas Wherever You Are, email me and I'll blast you an MP3 in time for the holiday warmth. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.